First, though, the newspaper company, formerly known as Fairfax, now owned by Channel 9, is running a campaign to change Australia's defamation laws. The Sydney Morning Herald and The Age have lost or are facing major defamation cases. They're pushing to change the laws, which are some of the toughest in the world. But are there ethical problems in allowing the media to publish or broadcast stories that can destroy reputations? Dr. Matt Collins is a Melbourne QC and an academic who specialises in defamation.
We have defamation laws which are intended to balance two fundamental rights, the right to reputation and the right to freedom of expression. But both of those rights, of course, can be in conflict, and different people will reach different views about where the line is to be drawn or the balance is to be struck between those rights. I mean, to take an example, there's just no international consensus on why freedom of speech matters. So if you think about the United States, the First Amendment to their Constitution gives America a uniquely broad conception of freedom of expression and freedom of the press. In the rest of the world, the general view is that that freedom is too extreme. I mean, for example, in the United States, laws have been deemed to be unconstitutional, for example, which have had the effect of banning members of the Ku Klux Klan from demonstrating outside the houses of terrified black families, because the conception of freedom of speech in that country is so extreme that it extends to Ku Klux Klan members expressing their views. In Australia and most of the rest of the world, that would be considered to be abhorrent.
And having worked and studied in the United States, I can also tell you that the freedom of speech laws there allow you to say that someone who is before the court, even before the verdict has been brought down, is guilty. Now, is that necessarily healthy, that we load up the public perception of someone before a court, for example, as already being guilty as part of our freedom of expression?
So what you're talking about is the way in which one balances fundamental rights which are in conflict. And in the United States, the First Amendment, the right to freedom of expression, has an almost preternatural significance, you know, followed closely only by the Second Amendment, which deals with the right to bear arms. In Australia, I would contend we rather go a bit too far in the other direction. You know, of the Western democracies, we are the only country not to have a constitutionally entrenched Bill of Rights in one form or another. And what that means is that with defamation laws, I would contend the balance has swung too far away from freedom of expression and too far in the direction of protecting the right to reputation, in a way which is having a really significant impact on Australian public discourse.
But shouldn't the media be required to publish that which they know to be true? Is that such a terrible threshold, Matt, for broadcasters and publishers to reach, that you print or broadcast that which you believe or know to be true?
Well, there's a big difference between what you believe and what you know to be true. And Andrew, you're quite right in most cases. But if you think about public corruption, the exposure of matters which people in power would rather not have exposed, it becomes important, in my view, for the media to have some breathing space. Often, stories of the highest importance, you think about Watergate in the United States, for example, are the result of information, reliable information, being provided to the media by whistleblowers or by leaks or by confidential sources. Confidential sources are useless in a legal sense because they'll never get in a witness box at a trial and swear up to what they have said to a journalist. But for all that, the information which is disclosed by them to journalists can often be of the highest public importance. If public malfeasance is to be exposed to the antiseptic of public scrutiny, I would contend we must allow the media some breathing space in some circumstances to publish material which turns out to be false.
But surely the only logic, Matt, is that this is a fishing exercise, that you throw out an allegation, you're not sure of how true it is, but you throw it out in the hope that someone might come forward to back it up. I mean, is that the basis on which we want people's reputations, their livelihoods, even their lives to be judged?
No legal system in the world would tolerate that, not even the American legal system. Even in the United States, the media will be liable in defamation law, for example, for publishing material that they know to be false or which is published with what's called actual malice. Our system is much stricter than that, and the media, I'm not contending for a broad right of immunity for the media, I would simply argue that where journalists have acted responsibly, having regard to the ethical precepts of their honourable profession, the law ought to cut them a bit of slack where the subject matter is of the highest public importance, such that freedom of expression in the individual case ought to prevail over the right of an individual's reputation.
We're still living in the shadow of the news of the world that was hacking the phones of a dead girl. Media people went to jail. Aren't we setting up a situation here where the dishonourable and the unethical have a legal shield if we change the defamation laws?
Andrew, it's not a black and white situation. There are gradations of grey. I've been doing this for the best part of 25 years. In my role, often I review stories prepared by journalists of the highest calibre who will tell me that they profoundly believe in the truth of what they have written or proposed to broadcast. When I read the stories or watch them, as a citizen, I form the view often that these stories are of the highest public importance and the public ought to have the right to know them. But as a lawyer, the advice I have to give is that our laws are so restrictive, so tilted in favour of plaintiffs, that the stories cannot see the light of day. I think that is profoundly corrosive of sophisticated public discourse. I'm troubled by it particularly because of developments of the last 15 to 20 years, coinciding broadly with the advent of the internet and the collapse of the major media organisations' traditional business models. You know, the fact is that there is less money now for serious journalism than there has ever been in Australia. Once proud newspaper mastheads have to produce more with less. There is a 24-hour news cycle which has to be fed day after day after day. Unless we provide some breathing space to enable the media to expose matters of the highest public importance, we risk degrading even further the public discourse in Australia.
You make a very powerful point, but you speak only of those cases where journalists and the media are doing the ethical thing, exposing corruption at the highest levels. But the reality is that any liberalisation of our defamation laws will also be used to traduce the reputations at times of quite innocent people, little people. The tabloid television, their exposés are of neighbourhood disputes. So it will have a very damaging effect on often vulnerable people, won't it?
Not in my view if the laws are properly calibrated. And properly calibrated laws have been formulated in just about every country that we like to compare ourselves with, notably the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Canada, and so on, without leading to the sorts of social collapse that you're predicting. Andrew, the important point is to recognise when there is a public interest in freedom of expression. Now, when the neighbour is being falsely accused of criminal conduct, there's no public interest in freedom of speech in those circumstances, such as would prevail over the right of the individual. But the position is different when people in positions of power are involved and when the subject matter is of the highest public importance.
Just finally, Matt, is there an irony that we've got some people on the liberal left who are calling for more restrictions on freedom of speech in the sense of wanting us, and I know this, to include religion in anti-racial vilification laws and to mandate that we use gender-neutral pronouns, and yet at the same time they're calling for freedom for the media to allow them to accuse people of serious crimes?
I think we have a real problem in this country in relation to matters of civic education and an understanding of why classical rights matter. As a country, we lack a moral compass when it comes to how to resolve conflicts between different fundamental rights. I think that's because, as I said before, uniquely of all the Western democracies, we don't have a charter or bill of rights.
That's Melbourne QC and defamation expert Matt Collins, and you're with Andrew West.